Start over here with we started yesterday. We get a little hagdama to Mizmor Lamed, Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LaDavid. Okay, so we started yesterday.
I just wanted to hear one thing. I won't be here by the month, the Sfardim and the minute, every day, not to say Sheish Chiroi, they say tens of Chiroi. One of the Chiroi every day is Zachar Zaman.
They say 10, okay.
Because there's somewhere in Nach, it says Zachar Zaman. So they say
Zafar
Saman.
Okay, you only use six and they have more. Okay, that's right. There are different opinions. Absolutely. There are different opinions as to how many Zechiris to refer them on. True. Okay, let's go over here. We yesterday a little bit of Hakdama. Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis LaDavid. So we discussed yesterday to recap that this Mizmor is the Mizmor which opens up Suki the Zimra. And we explained that's because it says in the Pasik, Bo'erev Yolin Bechi V'Labok Yerina. Okay, we discussed that this Mizmor Shir Chanukah, this is the Chanukah, this is the inauguration. Chanukah is a celebration of a chinuch. Chinuch is to inaugurate, to use for the first time. The first time something is done is a very special moment. It's a very special moment. A proof to you, we learn, how do you know that? What's the makar, the first time that you do something is special? Who says? Maybe it's a goyish thing. Who says that the first time you do something today, they have, you know, I don't even want to say the word, but when they have a new ship, okay, when they set sail for the very first time, okay, they use a certain word. I don't even say the word. It refers to Yashka. And maybe this concept of doing something for the very first time is not a Jewish concept. We know it's not true. It is a Jewish concept. Where does it come from? I mean, you can look in different places. You look at the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they were the Miluim. They were the first 8 days. Moshe Rabbeinu, he assembled and disassembled the Mishkan for 7 days. Vayihi Vayim Hashmini, it was Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Moshe assembled the Mishkan for the eighth time. And this time, it was not taken apart. It was not disassembled. And therefore, the fact that it's now fresh, it's now been assembled, it was the first, there were 12 days of celebration. Each last week's parasha, each of the Nisim brought a special carbon. So we see very clearly in the Torah that the first time something is done, the first time you have an event, you have a project, and the project is complete, and the project is you move forward for the very first time, indeed it's very significant. Another very important example of this principle is the first time a Kohen does Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Very important, Mukar. When a Kohen does Avodah for the very first time, he brings a set of Kurbanos, a special set. I think he brings the Minchas Chavitin. If I'm not mistaken, he brings like the Kohen Gadol. I think there's a collection of Kurbanos he has to bring on the first time he does Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. If I'm not mistaken, he brings the Minchas Chavitin, the same carbon the Kohen Gadol brings every single day, which is half of it is offered as a special Mincha, and it's divided into two parts. Half is brought in the morning, half is brought in the afternoon. If I'm not mistaken, an ordinary Kohen, on the first day that he brings a carbon, he does service, he brings a special, these special carbonates like a Kohen Gadol. And that's Deraisa. That's a Din Deraisa. We learn that from Psukim. So we see over here another concept that the first time a person does something is very special. I'm sure there are many more examples in the Torah. We find the Torah gives weight in Chashivas to doing something for the very first time. And here, David picks up upon that. When David went and he was... What? Bar Mitzvah. Yeah, but are those until the question? Is there a special halacha? Is there, you know, ceremony is ceremony, and a lot of things that we do unfortunately today are copied from the goyim. But is there a biblical source that carries weight? Well, the miluim of the Mishkan, these are special korbanos. If not for the fact that it was sanctioned by Hashem, it would be chulin bo'azara. What kind of business do you just come? You bring a carbon chatos. You don't just bring a carbon chatos, a carbon asham, a carbon when you're not required to do so. You can bring a carbon oil if you want. You can bring a carbon shlamim, but to bring a carbon chatos, they brought chatois. They brought carbonus, which ordinarily are not done. They did things that are ordinarily not done. They brought on the mizbeach. They brought kitoires on the mizbeach hanechoshes. Rashi in last week's parasha says this was the only time we find anywhere in the Torah to bring ketores, you bring ketores on the mizbeach hanechoyshes, the mizbeach achitzayim. There's no other time in all of the korbanos. It never was done, never will be done. It was only done at the inauguration of the Mishkan. So obviously, the Torah is telling you that the Chanukah, that the inauguration of the Mishkan was so significant that it warranted unique halachos, unique set of circumstances. That's a very powerful statement that when you do study for the very first time, when you have a project, and the project is complete, you achieve a goal, and now you have a new way going forward, it carries enormous weight. If the Torah goes out of its way to break all the rules of what we ordinarily would do and to do new things, to bring special korbanos. When a regular, ordinary kohen becomes a kohen for the very first time and he does avodah, he brings a special set of korbanos that under ordinary circumstances would be forbidden. And it's not just a gift, it's a set of things which break the rules. So you have really two examples, and certainly there are many, many more examples of we do things that anytime something, you have a project, the project is complete, and you, there's an inyan to make a special ceremony, is to do something special. Look, today, I mean, this is a very big dilemma, hakamas ha-matseva. Okay, so today it's a very big thing that when the matseva is erected, there's a ceremony, and everyone is scratching their heads, what's the source for this? Okay, and it does not appear there is any source. In all of the, you know, the art scroll, Madrich, and they write without any shame, there is no source. We really don't know, we don't know why it is the custom amongst the Jewish people to make a ceremony when the Matseva is erected. They call it unveiling. When I was a kid, I thought an unveiling means you go to the cemetery and have a big shmata on the Matseva, and then you take off the matzeh. It's a revelation. A revelation is big. There's a big. So the first time I went to an unveiling, I was very disappointed. There was nothing covering the matzeva. It was just the matzeva was there, and all they did.
There was no veil,
and all they did just wait until everyone came late, of course. And then finally, enough people came. They said to him, Mizmor Kuf Yutes. And they said the name of the person, you know, the letters of the person. And then the rabbi, he spoke for 5 minutes. And they said a kilmol, and everyone ran away. So you probably do a lot of unveilings.
But I don't use a veil, if I can help.
Did you ever see a veil?
Yeah, a lot of the shmata.
Oh, they taka use it.
Voila. Exactly.
They taka do that?
Yeah.
You really?
I have a friend who's on his own, it's a yaki. What he did, the yaki, he found out when they're bringing the matseva to the cemetery with the crane.
Right? Yeah.
Okay. He brought a million of people, and he had a kamas matseva.
When they actually put the matseva on. Bo Bayom. Okay, but that's extremely unpractical. That's extremely unpractical. Unpractical. I mean, how many times? I have a handful of times. I don't really go where. Where there's a hakamas matzeva by the family scheduled on a Sunday morning, 10 o'clock at the cemetery, and then the weather is it's raining. It's raining. So you get a text. You get a text. Okay, canceled. We'll do it next week. Next week, canceled. Next week.
I tell my people I get upset.
Rain or shine. Yeah, you have to be practical. You have to be practical. Rain or shine. Okay, but this is you're doing something. You have completed a project of being mekayim of a yatsev yakov even al matseva, whatever the source are. It's the haschala. Who says that there is a ceremony? There is significance in putting up a matseva. When it came to build the Beis HaMikdash, there was the miluim, and we just mentioned before there was a special unique set of korbanos that Hashem demanded be offered, which under ordinary circumstances would have been chulin bo'azara, chatois. They brought ketores on the mizbeach hazah achoyshe achitzan, which was unheard of. But when it comes, let's say, to putting up a matseva, so it's a small fortune, and you're completing a project, and it's, there's a makar for this in the Torah. The Torah says that Yaakov Avinu put a matseva on the kever of Rachel, okay, put a stone there, and maybe there are other makaros psukim that mention this thing. But we don't have any makar anywhere that you make a Chanukah, you make a type of celebration. Where does it come from? In the art scroll, it basically says that it's Chukos Amim, that it comes from the Goyim. But we've Judified the custom. We've made it a religious custom to a degree. Bas is a very controversial thing. Okay, you're saying very good. There is a bar mitzvah. Why is the bar mitzvah so that says, you see, the proof to show something is significant is to show halacha. See, that's always at the end of the day. At the end of the day, you know, you can darshan ein ma'ishivin al hadrush. But if you can show me in Shulchan Aruch a consequence, a halachic consequence, then we're talking big business here. So what is the halachic consequence of a bar mitzvah? To prove that the day a person becomes bar mitzvah, mitzuvi oiseh, this is not just a goyshe minuk, it's a sudas mitzvah. It has the status of an oval can go. And one of the only things that an oval can go to, an oval can attend a bar mitzvah. A bar mitzvah is a full-fledged status su'udas mitzvah, even if the boy does not, no one says a word of Torah. Under ordinary circumstances, if you don't say divrei Torah, then it's mamish, then it's a zivche mason. But a boy, a meal that is made in honor of a boy who has now entered into the oil ha-mitzvahs, and it is the day, it is bo bayom, it is that very day, automatically in the world of halacha has the status of a su'udas mitzvah with a nafkamina that an ovel is allowed to attend, and the other nafkamina in halacha. Yeah? Then you need the Torah.
He has to darsh.
If it's not bo bayom, it's called a su'udas mitzvah with one condition: the boy says a drasha. Blessed not the boy, someone else says a drasha. The boy must say the drasha. Okay, the boy must make a drasha. So when there's a halachic application that proves that there is significance. So you see another example of a bar mitzvah, that's the first day. What about a girl? So a girl is a very controversial topic. Rav Moshe Feinstein very strongly writes that a bas mitzvah has zero weight in halach. It's nothing. It's nothing. It's mamish nothing. Ravadi Yosef, Eish Lahava. Ravadi Yosef, Zecher Tzadik Levracha, very, very powerful disagreement that a bas mitzvah has a lot of weight. I don't know to what degree in halacha, does this actually go to the Ad Kach and say an oval can attend the bas mitzvah? I don't think so. Maybe he does. I don't know. But I don't, we once spent time on this sugya a while ago. Ravad Yosef very strongly holds that haschala counts. So here we're coming over here to Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis L'David. Whose bias is this? So we just mentioned yesterday very briefly, it's Machlokes and the Rishonim. Whose bias? Is this the Beis HaMikdash? If it's the Beis HaMikdash, then we have a Makar from the Miluim of the Mishkan. And that would mean that the bias Rishon would have significance, the bias Sheni would have significance, and there's really another, and the bias Shlishi has significance, and there's another bias, and that is the bias Sheni version 2. What was the bias Sheni version 2? Chanukah. Oz Egmor Bashir Mizmor Chanukas HaMizbeach. And indeed, what is the Shir Shel Yoim for Chanukah? This Mizmor. Mizmor Shir. I don't know if you want to call the Shir Shel Yoim Ad Kedei Kach, maybe yes, maybe not. But at the end of davening on Chanukah, many Kihilois have the custom, after you say the Shir Shel Yoim HaYom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, to recite in honor of Chanukah, Mizmor Shir Chanukas HaBayis L'David. Which is because after the Yevonim, the Chashmonoim defeated the Yevonim, they cleansed and purified the Beis HaMikdash, and they re-inaugurated, they renewed the Beis HaMikdash. The Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni was renewed. The truth is, it was renewed three another time. Hordis also renewed the Beis HaMikdash. So if you look at the Bayis Sheni, on a very simple level, there were really three inaugurations. There were really three eras of the Bayis Sheni. There was the building of the Bayis Sheni, And then there was Chanukah. Chanukah was certainly a renewal of the Beis HaMikdash. It seems from the simple reading of the history and the commentators is that the Beis HaMikdash was dysfunctional for about 50 years. The Beis HaMikdash was just not operational. It was just like shut down. Did they bring the carbon talmid? Not necessarily. I don't know. It seems like it was completely taken over by the Yevanim, the Misyavnim, the Yevanim.
Because we talk about how many years the bites stood. Now we don't talk about operations.
Operational. So they see that's also a very controversial thing that you just mentioned. We say that it was 420 years. Let's say we can prove that 50 years, it was shut down. So when we say the Bayis Sheni stood for 420 years, does that mean, was it really 470 years in time on the calendar? And we only calculate the years that it was operational. Is that correct or no? Ridiculous. 420 years means on the calendar, it's irrelevant what was going on inside the Beis HaMikdash. This is part of the discussion when you calculate missing years. Okay, this big, big topic. I have over Alexander, I think Alexander Hold, is that his name? He's a very big Talmud Chacham who lives in England, the United Kingdom. I think in the United Kingdom, he wrote already 3 or 4 books. One about the journey of the Jewish people to Har Sinai, the Masois. Then he wrote, this one I have over here is a very, very, very fascinating book about ancient Egypt, and exactly to reconcile Yitzias Mitzrayim with the secular accounting of the pharaohs, the dynasties, the Egyptian dynasties, and he has incredible stuff on this, and he presented his findings, his chidushim to the biggest experts in the world. He writes there in that Dhamma, Egyptologist. To the Egyptologists, and they basically had nothing to say. That's what he writes there in the Hakdama. Because what he said is mamish keneged, is against everything that is accepted in the secular world. Take a course in college, a course anywhere, take any textbook about Egyptology, and there are a lot of really tough questions that have to be answered, and these brilliant people, no one's denying they're brilliant people, have come up with certain answers which are accepted. That's the way in academia. This is the yisoid. These are the rules. And those things that are accepted in academia today do not fit with Chazal. The timeline just does not work out. And this person, Alexander Holy, he loves this type of stuff, and he examined this thoroughly, and he has a fascinating insights which reconcile everything, but it is in disagreement, incongruous with what is accepted today in the world of academia. And he presented his chidushim to these people, and they just don't have anything to say, because they know what that means. It means you're right, but you can't let you shut us down, you know, the questions. So why am I telling you that? Because the same way you have something like that, he also wrote a book, but that was his first book. I don't have that book. It's probably one. I remember I was trying to read. It's too hard for me to understand. It's too complicated for my little head. But he has a book dealing with the missing years. There are some very big questions. Well, maybe one day Halavai, Hashem should give us the siyata d'shmaya and the koyach to do this, to go through the sugya. That there are major issues with the calendar, to reconcile our understanding of the calendar with the secular common understanding of the calendar. Rav Shimon Schwab was very famous for writing, for coming up with incredible chidushim, which were too much for the world to accept, and he retracted. He took it back. He wrote up his chidushim, the Jewish Observer. And it was enormous response that people did not want to accept what he said. And he had charat, it was chayzer, but I don't know what that means. It was chayzer. Does it just mean that the world is willing to accept certain things? Goes against, you know, you know, what's common assumptions, and sometimes chidushim, even if they're true, is too much to bear. So, or did he really feel that he was mistaken? And they even have from him, very disappointed, they even have from him, Art School published a collection of his essays. And in the first edition, it had this article, and in the later edition, they took it out. Maybe he took it out, they took it out, because he retracted. Why did he retract? But it is a very, very big topic amongst people who have mind for this type of stuff. But Reisman, he gobbles this stuff up. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman, he loves this stuff. He gobbles this stuff up, and they love this stuff. They go through that kind of analytical mind, mathematical mind, make calculations, and it's a big topic. This is part of the equation. The equation is, as Michal pointed out, we know Chazal tell us there are 420 years the Beis Hamikdash stood.
So what did he say?
I don't know what he says. Alexander Hold has a whole book on this. I'm sure in that book he, Alexander Hold, this is where he really excels. He's really good in this. So this is a very big topic. You know what's so interesting? And I told this to a rabbi last year, and he didn't like this. He didn't like this. Is because I read somewhere, you know, there are different ways to reconcile the contradictions in time. And according to a very popular way to reconcile this last year, or maybe it's this year, is basically year 6,000. We say by a wedding, we are now 5,782 years from the time of creation. According to the convention that we are familiar with, L'minyan She'anu Moinin Kan, Brooklyn, New York. That's critical. If you don't hear those words, Minyan She'anu Moinin Kan, Brooklyn, New York, you're in a lot of trouble. Because not everyone agrees that it's exactly 5,782 years. Some will tell you it's 5,781 years. Some will tell you, some have much more radical approaches where they add many more years. And I don't know the calculations, but they were writing this up last year, is that according to those other popular calculations, which we dismiss, I don't know why we dismiss so fast, last year, maybe it's this year, is year 6,000. And if this year is the year 6,000, then Mashiach, Chazal said, the world only exists for 6,000 years. Okay, so a lot of people, you know, that's part. Listen, the bottom line is, you go to a wedding, it's the Messiah is, don't make trouble. I'm not joking. Hanach Lohem Lishol, the Messiah is 5,782 years. Okay, there's different ideas, there are different things, but you don't play around with the Messiah. I am one of the powerful, I felt this many times, I rise when you gave a very beautiful shiur once, years ago, Mitzvah Shabbos, for 1,200 people, and he went through, I think, I don't remember the number, maybe even 10 different episodes in Jewish history where Klal Yisrael made a mistake in the calendar, and there were major consequences. For example, Ephraim, the B'nai... B'nai Ephraim, he made a calculation, Hashem said, you're going to be in Egypt for 400 years. They picked themselves up and they left. They left 30 years because according to their calculation, it's time to go. And everyone told them, it's not time to go. You make them, no, it is time to go. And we have a haftacha. Hashem said from the others, Avraham Avinu, Yedoya Teda, Ki Ger Yezarech Be'eretz Yisrael V'Avodav Yidosh V'Avraham Yoshana, V'Yachrechen Yetzel B'Chush Gadol. It's now exactly 400 years. Everyone in Klal Yisrael said, it's not 400 years. It's only 210 years, whatever the calculation was. They had a very sophisticated calculation that it was 400 years. It's Rashi and Chumash. And they picked themselves up and they left. And what happened? They were slaughtered. And in fact, Chazal said that one of the reasons why Hashem did not want to take Klal Yisrael in the Derech Eretz Plishtim was because they'll come across the bones of the Bnei Ephraim. And they'll see the battlefield of where Bnei Ephraim was slaughtered, and they'll get depressed. So Hashem did not take them, Derech Eretz Plishim, so they shouldn't see the battlefield and see the bones of their brethren. Okay, so that was the mistaken time. And then he went on to give another collection of mistakes. And then he concluded the shiur with something that really shook up. I was shaken up. I don't know about other people. He says, you know, let's say chas v'shalom. Something can't even, he said this. I couldn't say this. I would say this. Give me a fras across the face. But when he said this, a Reisman doesn't need my askama, a Reisman. And he said this, and he said, what would happen, chas shalom, in about less than 200 years, it would be the year 6000. Chas v'shalom, Mashiach would not have come yet. Chas v'shalom. And it would be the year 6000. Let's make believe, just fantasize. Fantasize in 218 years. It's the year 6000. And Mashiach's not here. It's Rosh Hashanah, there's no Mashiach. Then it comes the next 6001. What's going to happen? People, Rachman Lutzton, they're going to say, oh, they're going to, it's a big Nisayim. It's a big Nisayim. It's only a big Nisayim because you think you know how to calculate time. Already in history, the whole Shia gave a Shia for an hour. I just showed you that in history there were 10 times where a significant chunk of the Jewish population made a calculation in Zman, and they acted upon it. They acted. They didn't just calculate Zman, and it was a theoretical calculation, and they, okay, what's for lunch? What's for lunch now? No, they actually implemented halacha based upon their calculation. And guess what? They were wrong. So do we think that we know what time is? Do we think we really know how to calculate time? So theoretically, chas v'shalom, in 200 years, if Mashiach wouldn't be here, chas v'shalom, I mean, it's way past our life expectation. What? How are you going to deal with it? I mean, Mashiach, achach le'b'chol yom sh'yavai. Halavai, by today, by the time we finish the shiur today, Mashiach should be here. If Mashiach is here by the time it's 12 o'clock, no one's going downstairs for lunch.
Mashiach.
They'll bring lunch upstairs.
Lunch in Yerushalayim.
So who are we to make these calculations? In any event, we're getting sidetracked way too much. Bizmashir, Chanukah, Sabayis, Ladav, and Dabayis Shlishi, there were three, in Dabayis Sheni, there were three different eras of Dabayis Sheni. And I'm suggesting you, they made three parties. Everyone likes a party. I know someone who's an older bacha, and they were reading him a shirach. So the guy there said, like, you know, leave me alone, whatever. I was leading to the conversation. The guy said, leave me alone. So he said, you know, when you'll get engaged, we're going to make such a big, we have a big chasana. So the guy said, when I find a girl, I don't need a chasana, I'm going to elope. So the guy said to him, no, we're not trying to marry you off for you. We need a party. We're looking for a good party. You're a heftza. You're an object for us to make a big party and a big celebration. We like to party. We like to, you know, to drink and eat. We need a party. You happen to be a good excuse. We're going to marry you off and we're going to make a big party. So, the Bayis Shlishi, there were three parties. Three parties. They made a big party when they built the Bayis Sheni. They made a big party Chanukah, which is exactly 200 years, came out exactly 200 years into the Bayis Sheni, when they reinaugurated, after they cleansed and they built a new Mizbeach, and they purged all of the idols and all the crazy things that were going on in the Bayis Sheni, they cleansed it. Oz Chanukah. That was Chanukah. Big party. The renewal. Oz Egmar Bashir Mizmar. Same exact words. I mean, that's what it's taken from. The Oz, the Ma'ol Sur is plagiarizing this pasuk. Oz Egmar Bashir Mizmar. Mizmar Shir. The words are in reverse. But Mizmar Shir Mizmar, Chanukas, the Chanukas HaMizbeach, Interesting, it doesn't say Chanukah Sabayis, but Chanukah Sabayis, the Mizbeach was really the whole bias. It was really a renewal of the entire Beis HaMikdash. And then Hordas, after Hordas committed murder, he murdered all the Talmidei Chachamim. Bam ben Buta had a conversation with him and inspired him to do teshuva and to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. And part of his teshuva was to rebuild, and he built Mish Loira Bayis Binyan Hordas Loira Binyan Noe Biyamav. So there were three major parties celebrating the beauty, the renewal of the Bayis Sheni. What about the Bayis Rishon? How many parties were there for the Bayis Rishon? Doesn't seem like there only one. I'm not aware, was there any tikkun where they renewed one deal with it? Could be with Yehoshaphat. It doesn't really say. Well, you know what? There is one time. Chilkiyahu. So the taka was. There was Yoshiyahu. The Beis HaMikdash was in a state of disrepair. And that's when he was the son of Ochos, who eradicated Yiddishkeit from Klal Yisrael, and they did not even know what a Sefer Torah looked like. And they did renovations, even though they didn't know Torah, but they did service. You come to the temple to bow down, to pray, and they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, and they discovered the Sefer Torah. So you see clearly from that episode is that there was a renewal of the Beis HaMikdash. Was there any other tekufa where they renewed the Beis HaMikdash? I'm not aware, maybe there was. So we're dealing over here with at least five parties. When they inaugurated the Bayis Rishon, in the time of Yoshiyahu, with Chilkiyahu, they renewed the Beis HaMikdash. They must have made a party, they must have made a celebration, a Mizmor Shir Chanukah Sabayis. And then the Bayis Shlishi, there were three different eras of the Bayis Shlishi. The first era, the second era of Chanukah, and the third era of Hordas. So that's five episodes of renewal in the Bate Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Rishon and the Bayis Sheni. And then we're waiting for the Bayis Shlishi. Okay, so this all works with the assumption that the bias over here is the bias of the Samedosh. We mentioned over here the Ibn Ezra, who says that some said this was the home of David. David built for himself a beautiful palace, a Beis Arozim. And this becomes a big topic of halachic topic when a person builds a house. The people buy a house, and then they make a Chanukah Sabayis, open house. Come, bring presents. Everyone should come. If you buy, you buy a house and you move in, it's the minhag Yisrael to make a Chanukah Sabayis. And there are different opinions about this. It's not so simple. Is there a chiyuv? Is there an obligation to make a Chanukah Sabayis? Or is it just a nice thing to do? What do you do at a Chanukah Sabayis? What do? You make a Shachiyanu? You make a Toiva Hanetiv? You put up a mezuzah? Do you say this mizmar? Do you say divrei Torah? Do you give tzedakah? What exactly is the ceremony at a Chanukah Sabayis? Do you make a Chanukah Sabayis when you buy a house? Or do you make a Chanukah Sabayis when you renovate? Do you make a Chanukah Sabayis if you build a house from scratch? Like in Flapish, you buy a house, you level the whole thing down to nothing. You even get rid of the foundation and you start from scratch. You know how many permits you need to do that, and how much paperwork you need to do that. So what are the rules? It's very confusing. It's very confusing. If there's a chiyuv, it's a minhag, it's a custom. What you do, it's not so simple. In any event, this mizmar, according to what it says in Ibn Ezra, is discussing exactly that. It's according to Ibn Ezra Pshat, the bias over here is the Beis Arozim of David, his personal palace. We're not necessarily referring to the Beis HaMikdash. However, many others say, no, of course we are referring to the Beis HaMikdash, even though it does not say the Bayis of Hashem. And the reason why it says the word Mizmor and the word Shir, the word Mizmor refers to the Bayis Rishon, and the word Shir refers to the Bayis Sheni, and we're not mentioning the Bayis Shlishi, because no one, Ayin V'Loy V'Osa, even David was not privy to see what the Bayis Shlishi would look like so that he can compose a Mizmor describing its beauty. Okay, Arimim Hashem will be from Sukkim will be Mitzvahs and Rashi. Arimim Hashem ki dili sani. I want to praise you, Hashem, because dili sani. We have to discuss that in detail. It simply means you have lifted me up. Velo simachto oivaili. You do not allow my enemies to rejoice over me. Let's just do another two Sukkim. Hashem elokai Hashem, my God. Shivat yelech. I cried out to you. Vatir poin, and you healed me. Hashem. Ha'lisa, you have lifted min sha'ol, from the grave, nafshi, sha'ol means the grave, some say it means gehenim, chiyisani, you have given me life, miyardi var, from descending into the grave. This is an extra vav. Miyardi is the past tense. Miyardi, miyarde, ksiv is miyarde, that's the present tense. From those who go into the pit. Okay, so let's take a look at the mitzvahs on these few psukim. Pasuk Lamed on page 259. Chanukah Sabayis. Hamizmar hazeh tikin la'omer be'etz Chanukah beis hamikdash. The mitzvah says that David composed this mizmar al ha'osit. David did not live to see the Chanukah Sabayis. He did not even live to see the building of the base of the Bayis, but he composed this l'ruach ha'kodesh, that it should be said when the Mikdash is built, at the Chanukah, the day when they inaugurate the Mikdash. Dili Sani, you have El, by the way, when did they inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash? They inaugurated the Beis HaMikdash, was it Ches Tishrei, on the 8th day of Tishrei. 8, 9, for how many days? For 7 days. 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. On the 8th day of Tishrei, they inaugurated, the celebrations began. What did they do on the, what did they do? I'm not sure. It could be they brought special korbanos. And what was the chiddush? The chiddush was, when you get to 8, 9, 10, the third day of celebration was Yom HaKippurim. And what do you do at a party? You eat. What do you do on Yom Kippur? You fast. So what do you do is the conflict. On that Yom Kippur, did they eat or did they fast? Chazal said they ate. It was the only Yom Kippur in Jewish history where they ate. Or where they, I'm sure there were other Yom Kippurs, but the entire Klal Yisrael, whatever that means, the entire Klal Yisrael ate on that Yom Kippur. And then they get 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, and then begins Sukkos. And Sukkos goes on for another 7 days. And then was Shmini Atzeres. So we have, you have 40 days, you have a whole.
So I'm trying to figure out how Dili Sani means to praise.
A bucket.
What? Yeah.
A Dili is a bucket.
Dili is a dolo dolo. You draw water up.
Excellent.
From a well.
From a well. So this is a very fascinating metaphor of a bucket. A bucket. Ushaftem mayim besasam. Water is always described as to draw water, usha'avtem. But it's not just to draw, it's to draw up. To draw the water and lift the water up. The way Hashem made the world is that mayim has to be raised. You lift up water. The word dili sani comes from a bucket, it's a borrowed term. A bucket, you dip, but it's interesting, it's always a yirida litzarech aliyah. In order to raise water, you first have to lower the bucket. Going down is not a good thing. Going in the elevator down to Gehenna is not a good thing. Going down. But that's the way Hashem made the world. You have to go down. It's a yerida litzarech aliyah. Hoy kol tzamei l'chu l'mayim. Where is the water? Bracha. What is a bracha? A brecha. A spring. A spring. Where is a spring of water? It's in the ground. How do you get that water? Well, you have to take a bucket and you have to lower the bucket. And then you raise the bucket. In order to receive blessing from the brecha, we say, Baruch Atah Hashem, Yivorechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. In order to make contact with the bracha, you need a bucket, a kli kibble. And the kli kibble has to go down. A yerida litzarech aliyah, in order to fill it up and then to raise it up. Nechoyis dargo unisiv itisa. Take a step down to get married.
this is like Yidden, Dal Mena Mitzvahs.
Poor.
Awesome.
So you're saying very, very good. Another word to add to my collection, you're saying, what you're saying is excellent. Rav Mordechai Mintz is saying a very, he's saying a Yisoid, he's saying another Pshar. Rav Michal, Rav Mordechai has touched upon a different Mahalach. Yishrash, we only talk about this a billion times. Yishrash, Yisharesh. The same letters, when you manipulate the vowels, they go 180 degrees. So Mordechai suggests the word Dilisani comes from the word Dal, poor. And when you manipulate the vowels, you go 180 degrees rich. I don't know if Dal means poor, means like destitute, a person that's lacking. When you manipulate the vowels, it means a person that has everything. Like Chosar Dova. Is that what you're trying to say?
Well, the Dal, poor,
destitute. Yes. So now when you manipulate from Dal to Dili, it means you're going 180 degrees. Just like there are so many other words. I actually have a whole list. We had yesterday in Chumash, Chitui. What does Chitui mean? Purification. It's the same exact Sharish as Chait, sin. How could the word Chait and Chitui have the same Sharish? The answer is, like we always say, when you take a word and you manipulate the vowels, you transform the word 180 degrees. Chait is defilement, and purification is the opposite of defilement. Here we have another principle. Dal is lacking, destitute. Dilisani means you're not lacking, you have everything you can possibly want. You're not lacking anything. Okay, so that's another.
Also, bikini may offer dal, may ash by seor in mevyayim.
The other word dal may offer the poor.
May offer dal, may ash by seor in mevyayim. This is elevated from...
You have a proof.
From the offer, the depth style...
The dal means the person who's lacking. And here it says, dili sani. You've taken me from being a Dal to raising me high. So we have two translations. Dilisani means Dal, of Mordechai is saying. And Machal is saying comes from the word a bucket. A Dili is a bucket. Now there's another interpretation. It says over here on the page somewhere, and this is very close to my heart, this interpretation, because we've spent a lot of time on this other times. Delis. Who says the word that means Delis on the page? Let's find it over here. Who said? Someone here says Delis. A door. Let's see. The Perish Harid, maybe. Dili Sani, no. Higbatani. Sipurno. I don't see. Dili Sani. No. Sipurno. No. They're saying the Bir Hamilois. Remontani. I saw some that said the word Delis. It's got to be. I saw it here. I hope maybe I saw another Sefer. But I saw it here. Dili Selection of Delis. What is Delis? Delis is an extremely powerful word in Tanakh. Extremely powerful word in Tanakh. Where is it used first? It's used by Lot and the Malach. By Yisker HaDelis Ba'ado. Lot, the Torah gives him a hesped. In hindsight, it's always very interesting. You want to be masped. I remember my Rebbe Chaim Siegel, Zeich HaZach Ravach, he said that Hashem was masped. Hashem was masped Moshe Rabbein. Wasn't a hesped. The Minchas Erev. Oh, a Shekoyach Rabaruch. The Minchas Erev, let's see. Miloshim Delis. Sheniftechu Bezochroi Shemi. So he says a drush that the doors of the Beis HaMikdash, Bavur David Avdecha, this goes back to the Medrash. The Medrash says that the doors of the Beis HaMikdash did not want to open. Not that they didn't want to open, they're different midrashim. One says they did not want to open. The other Medrash says is that the doors, they made a mistake in the construction of the Mikdash, in that the Oroin is exactly 2.5 amos long. And the doors were ordered from Anderson or Pella, right? Or whatever you want. I have Arco windows, they're even better. The doors are, the doors were opened, were the posts were exactly 2.5 amos. So the oroin that's 2.5 amos cannot fit in an opening that's exactly 2.5 amos. This was a flaw in construction. A flaw. I'll never forget when I was a little kid in high school, they were building the Chaim Berlin building now that you see on Coney Island Avenue. So I was fascinated with construction. I could not get enough of this. I just loved it. Now I find it boring. But in those days, it was a little kid, it's a novelty to see cranes, to see them pour concrete to make a foundation, bulldozers. It was a novelty, a little kid, you know, to see this type of stuff. I found it fascinating. So they were putting up the steel frame. The guys that put up this frame were the biggest lowlifes you ever saw in your life. They would come, this team of steel workers. They would come, oh, you will come out of their mouths. And they would risk their life, mamas moiser nefesh, how they climb like monkeys on these steel columns. Unbelievable. These guys, they're mamas created for this type of stuff. And I remember they put it there. I was just so fascinated. I was so vivid, these memories. There was a trailer. They brought this trailer, and there was the foreman. The foreman was in charge of all these guys, of these steel guys. And he was, I remember him, Arayom Azeh. He was a tough guy. A mouth, mamish, like a fire hydrant of nipple pad came out of that mouth. And he was in charge. And he was in charge of all these steel workers. And he sat there in his trailer with air conditioner, you know, and he had like a big stender, massively big stender, and had all the architectural plans. And they delivered every day, they delivered steel, these massive, massive steel beams. And on the steel beams were numbers. And they knew it was Grosse Chochma, it's incredible Chochma, how, like a Lego set, how to put together all of these steel beams. And I remember I went during recess to watch one day, it's my daily activity to go watch them put up the steel. And they built this big steel crane. And they put it in place. And it didn't fit. It just, I don't know, it was too small, it was too big. And I remember how they were mounted. How could it be? Everything is done by computer, right? All these pieces of steel that manufactured in the factory by computer and had the number on it. And they were, Azoi, Azoi. And it didn't fit. Until finally the foreman was just fuming. He said, they made a mistake. The factory who sent us this thing, they blew it. They sent a beam that they didn't make it the right size. They cut it the wrong way. And basically told them all to go home. We cannot continue. If this beam doesn't fit, this, you know, everything goes in sequence. And he was not a happy camper. Mm-hmm. I remember how he went into the trailer, he slammed the door, and you saw him get on the phone to call up the company who made the beams, sent the beams. And this is a big process to make a beam, to put on the truck and to send it, the cranes, coordination, and everything is kesef. A kesef yanes akol. Everything has to fit into place.
They let you snoop into all this?
No, I didn't snoop in. It was on the street. They stood on the street. No, they didn't go in and didn't go in. We would go in, we get expelled from school. They used to warn us every day. You go into the construction site, you throw out your sheet, you never come back. Never come back. No, we didn't go in. It was on the street. On the street. Mamish, in a safe location. In a safe location, far enough. No, I never got into trouble. I have other guys in my class got into trouble, but not me. One of the guys in my class, he used to go walking. If you ever go to Chaim, when they have on the top, they have these crisscross beams. He used to go walking on those beams up there when they were doing it. I have crazy stories to tell you. All right, but in any event, now how did I get into that? We got over here. I remember Hashem Kidi listening to the Machtei. So over here, that's what I was telling you. Like Dub, when they built, there was a flaw in the plan. The aron was 2.5 amos long, and the door was exactly an opening of 2.5 amos. You cannot fit furniture that's 2.5 amos bidiyuk in a door that's bidiyuk 2.5 amos. It has to be a little bit bigger. Because an object that's 2.5 does not fit through a door that's exactly 2.5. It doesn't go. You have to make it a drop bigger. So why don't they just tilt it? Like you're bringing furniture into a room. There are a lot of solutions. First of all, you can go in like this. Who says you have to go in the length? You can go in like this. And you'll get inside, you'll turn it. Right? What's the big deal? You have an aroin that's 2.5. So you're going in. The door is exactly 2.5. It doesn't fit. So turn it like this and go in like this and then turn it around. What's the big deal? Well, there's a problem. There are two few problems. Number one is when you go like this, the badim. The badim were positioned. We're positioned this way.
That's right.
So if you turn it like this, the badim are not going to let you go inside. Take out the badim. Lo yosudu mimenu. You don't take out the badim. Why don't we go like this? Go like this. Not derech eretz. Not derech eretz for the aron, the luchos, the Torah. You know, this is not a cargo airplane. You go take the suitcase and you throw it around. This is not delivery, FedEx delivery over here where you just take $1,000 computer and you throw it on the floor, you throw it across the thing. You don't do that. Not there are cherets for Torah to go manipulate it. If the Oroin is supposed to be like this, it goes like this. Oh, but the door doesn't fit. Call up the manufacturer and tell him he made a big mistake. The door was not wide enough to let the Aron in. So what did they need? They need some siyata d'shmaya. They need some miracles to widen the door. Siyata d'shmaya. Daven, pray. All the davening didn't do anything. In fact, the doors gave musar back. Mihu zeh melech hakavod? Until ba'avur David avdecha. Miraculously, the doors expanded. They shrunk, whatever you want to call it. It opened up and allowed enough space for the Aron to enter.
Human error? There was no design?
I don't know. You know, you can't say that. You can't say how cold
the
Sav.
It wasn't human error, but the doorway could have been used.
What were they thinking? I mean, the whole Mikdash, the rules of construction, do they apply? Do they not apply? Where are the fire exits? Would New York City give them a permit? The go look at the plans. Go to Eichler's and buy one of the books that show you beautiful, beautiful computer rendered, detailed. There are some incredible swarm out there today. Unbelievable swarm. Detailed architectural plans of the Bayis Rishon, the Bayis Sheni, and the Bayis Shlishi. Go give this to an architect, in New York City, and ask him to stamp it. For his approval. He won't do it. Violates every code. Every code of New York City architectural laws. Where are the safety exits? Where are all the... No way! How many people do you expect occupancy? How many people? 2.5 million people. Oh yeah, 2.5 million people are going to come into a room the size of this shul. How big is the Beis HaMikdash? Approximately the size of the shul. And how many people are going to come there on an Erev Pesach? A couple of million people. Really. Where are the emergency exits? What are the steps? Really. You're going to get someone, an architect from New York City, to go stamp it that this is okay. No way in the world. So Mr. Marillis, you're asking a question, how could they build an opening that's 2.5 amos when the furniture has to be is exactly 2.5 amos? Was it human error? Or not? Oh, but it's not going to fit. Obviously the rules, the construction of the Beis HaMikdash defies nature.
Not even so much Beis HaMikdash, but the Kodesh HaKodashim.
Kodeshak, the Einim and Hamida.
Yeah.
Okay, that's after the fact. If you would bring the Aron into the Kodeshak Kodeshak and make measurements, the numbers would not add up. Look, the most basic thing that Chazal point out, that comes to show that the Mikdash, Mishkan, is not a structure that is meant to follow the rules is when you build a log house. When you were children, they were playing with those log houses, those log. When you go and you chop down these massive trees, you build a log. How do you build a log house? You take the trees, the big massive trees that you chop, the logs, and which direction do you stand in? Horizontally. Remember when you had those toys, they would fit into each other?
Notches.
Horizontally. Take a massive cedar tree, chop it down, and cut off the branches, and you have a nice log, and what do? Take off all the bark, make some notches, and you put it down horizontally. Horizontal, then you go this way, and you go this way, you go this way, and you build yourself up. What was the Mishkan made from? How many cedar logs? It was cedar logs. They squared them off, but it was atze arozen. They were trees, they were logs. They were logs, they started out round, and then they made them into squares. And then which direction did they put them?
The way they grew.
Straight. That's not the way you do construction. No one would do that. No one would ever do such a thing. When you build a structure, the way you build a structure is you take a log and you put it down horizontally in order to give it support. This defies the rules of construction. And why? So Chazal say, everything in the base had to stand the way they grew, the way they're natural. It was green. The Mishkan went green. It was way ahead of their time. Everything has to be natural. No preservatives, no
chemical.
Everything has to be. And you know what natural means? The way it came out of the ground. That's the way it's going to stand in the Beis Hamikdash. Ad kidei kach, even the Aron, there's a big topic of discussion, the Kalim, the Aron was wood. Was the grain, they make a box. So if you were making the Aron, Bezalel, you go to the lumber yard, and you buy nice wood, and you go take the wood, and you cut it, and you glue it, you do this, you do that, you make a box. Do you pay attention to the grain of the wood? Is the grain of the wood going up? Is it going sideways? Is it going this way?
Yeah.
Who would even think about this? You buy logs of wood and you make a box. Whichever way, or however it works, it works. L'chara, the way you do it today, if you would go tell them, okay, go to the lumber yard, money's not an issue, get the most expensive wood, and go build me a box. These are dimensions. It's almost a guarantee that the finished product, the grain of the box, of the walls, will be horizontal. Guaranteed. Was that the way the Aron was made? So the Mefarshim say no. Atze shitim oimidim. Not just for the crushing, the walls, even the kalim. That means they have a massive tree where you can get a log going up 2.5 amos long, so you can take a chunk of that vertically and use that as one of the walls for the box on each of the sides. I'd say everything had to be in the Beis HaMikdash the way it grew. I'd say shitim oimidim. So you see from this, right off the bat, is that the rules of construction in the Beis HaMikdash did not follow convention, the way we do things today. It was a whole different world. Whole different world. Now going back to over here, so Baruch pointed out this Minchas Erev that says the word Dili Sani, Delas, and over here it's a homiletic interpretation, or it's a remez, is that when David HaMelech, when they wanted to enter into the Beis HaMikdash, the doors refused entry, either because it was a miracle, because the doors may have been wide enough, but they just were shut, they locked themselves, or the other medrash that we came across about a week or two ago is no, the doors were wide open. It's just that there was a problem. There was a problem in construction. And that the Aron is 2.5 amos wide and the doors were 2.5 amos wide and 2.5 does not fit. And you're not going to go start playing games. So what did they do? So the Delas was problematic. So they said, Bavur David Avdecha. And when they said David's name miraculously, everything opened up. The Delos sites were wide enough where they opened up. depending on the Medrash, and the enemies of David, their faces turned black like the bottom of a pot. Not like the bottom of a pot today you buy on Amazon, which has special chemicals, which never turns black, but like the bottom of the old-fashioned pots that Taka turned black. Okay? And they were put to shame. They were put to shame. And that's the drush. But however, there's another mahalich I want to suggest to you, and that is, where does David come from? Tell me David's roots. David comes from Yishai. Goes to the Yichus and Shavuos. So he comes from Boaz. Okay, Boaz, who did Boaz marry? Rus HaMoaviyah. Okay, let's take Rus, go all the way back to Rus HaMoaviyah. Where does she come from? She comes from Lot and one of his daughters. And where does Lot come? And what do we know about Lot? What's the hesped for Lot? If you're giving a hesped for Lot, we're going back to my Rebbe, Chaim Siegel, when he gave it to his sister, he said, what was Hashem's hesped for Moshe Rabbeinu? Vayomar Sham Eved Hashem. Two words. The whole hesped wasn't a marathon of hesped and they went on for 24 hours. It was a two-word hesped. Eved Hashem. Hashem was maspid Moshe. Eved Hashem. That was the whole hesped. They didn't have a Mishpacha magazine, pages and pages and pages and pages. They didn't have a week of hespedim online. Torah Nitan, they're very good. They collected online for Rav Zachari Wallace and Zechat Zag Levracha, a whole section of just of hespedim. And I'm sure they have Rav Chaim Kanievsky. I didn't look for Rav Chaim Kanievsky, Zechat Zag Levracha. They must have mamish, a whole massive section of 1,000 hespedim collected together. They didn't have that for Moshe. It was a two-word hesped. Eved Hashem. That says it all. What would you say about Lo? Lo was a very complicated person. Nishta Pasha Namesh. Lo was a very complicated person. He had problems, like all of us. And he had some pretty good stuff to him. He was made out of some good stuff also, Lot. What was the Maila of Lot? So if you would ask me, I would say, Vayiskar. I don't know if I'm saying the right word, but I may ask you, Baruch Hashem, you're here to save us from making mistakes. Vayiskar Hadeles.
Yeah, Vayiskar
Hadeles.
Hadeles.
Acharov. Or Ba'adom. Acharov. It says by the Malachim also.
Ba'adom is by the table.
What happened? The Malachim came to save Lot. And Lot said to them, come inside. Don't stand out. This is a bad neighborhood here.
Yes.
This is a bad neighborhood.
Yes. Okay,
but Acharov, but that's the Malachim did. That was the Malachim.
Yeah.
But before the Malachim, before the Malachim, it says that Lot, when he told, get inside. Get inside.
It doesn't say he closed the door into them there.
I think it says the
Lot. He goes out to speak to the...
Oh, he goes out to speak to them. Very good. Wow, you really know your...
What could you expect from a name curse?
What?
His name, Lyot, is cursing. He was cursed.
Okay.
So
Lot is a complicated person. Okay, I'm not here to judge anyone. But it says that Lot, they started, the people get inside. The people, the neighbors saw there's a new person. They wanted Mishkav Zohar. And Lot said, I better go outside and talk to these people and get rid of them. Lot went outside, and what did he do? He shut the door behind him. Why does the Torah tell us that detail? What, if you walk in, every time you go somewhere, it tells you if you waited for the red light? I mean, what is the Torah telling you this detail? Lot, he went outside to negotiate. They're meshagoyim outside. They want these people. So you go outside. The Torah has to go tell me that he closed the door. The Torah has to go tell me what he was wearing that day. Has to go tell me what color his hat was. I mean, he closed the door behind him. What is that all about? It's saying that he protected them. You come to me, I'm responsible for you. Closing the door is an act of shelter. It is Lot, what was Lot? Lot, they appointed Lot on that day to be the judge. To be the judge of Sodom. What does a judge do? You protect your people. We always say that what is the job of a prime minister, of a head of state? Defense. Protect. Defense. Protect. Right? He always says that. Netanyahu always says that. What is the role of a prime minister? What's my role? To collect pens?
People,
I should go make a collection of pens from people? Cigars? Champagne bottles? What's my role? My role is to
it's
protect.
The
first role is the safety
the
of the
head
people.
Of state. The head of state.
Biden says that the most important thing is climate change. That's the purpose of the government. That's what he said. That's what he said by his inauguration. The greatest threat to this country is climate change. Not inflation. Not price of gas. Not food. Not baby formula. Not a war. Not a nuclear war. That's not a garnish. Global warming. This is the most. This is. That's wrong. That's not correct. The role of government is the role of government is to protect your people, to close the door. To close a door is a vulnerability. An opening is a pesach. An open door is a danger to society. Lot. The Torah says about Lot, he took his responsibility very seriously. Vayiskar Hadelas. He closed the door. The people inside.
What's responsible about throwing his two daughters out to them?
I told
How
you.
How is that responsibility?
We're not focusing on that. We're not focusing on that at this moment. We're focusing on the fact that he closed the door. In reward for that, the Malachim protected him. The next pasuk goes on to say, that the Malachim went outside, they grabbed him, they said, and then the Malachim locked the door. But it says that the Malachim pulled him in, and the Malachim shut the door. Neither connected either. You protected us, we protect you. Then you have another door by the Isha HaShunamis. Isha HaShunamis, their door is used a little bit differently. There's different usage of that door. That's nothing to do with David. But the Isha HaShunamis, Elisha, I always forget, is it Elisha or Elio? Always mix them up.
Elisha
told the woman, you don't have parnas, you have anything in the house? We have a jug of oil. Oh, you have oil, very good. Go borrow kalim. Go to all the neighbors and borrow all the kalim, bring them in, and then pour. And you'll have. And it says there, she shut the door. She shut. Why does the pasuk have to say she shut the door? The delis. The word delis does not appear very often in Tanakh. It's a very rare. It's not, very few times they say the word delis in Tanakh. So there, tznius, privacy. When a miracle happens, it's no one's business. You don't have to go and show the whole world miracles. I think it says also Delas, that's one of the connections between the beginning of the Haftarah and the end of the Haftarah, and the next miracle when Elisha himself came to be Mechaye Mesim, the child. And there also he shut the door. Everyone, what is the first story? What does this first story have to do with the second story? So, I mean, there's a very big topic of just, the Sfarim don't say the first part of the Haftarah.
No, that's because of the machlokas in the Gemara, whether you need one or two to be considered a Navi, that like we asked the question by Yitzchak, why did he lay down on the Akedah? Because that the Gemara has machlokas, you have to be a Navi that had one miracle. Then it shows other people who did one miracle and they went to the dark side. In other words, they weren't Nevi'im till the end.
Okay, so you know why you need two.
So we read the second one because
the show is a real Navi,
the
real miracle.
Says you need two.
Very interesting.
Elio only did one. It shows Elisha.
Elio
had
four. Elio did four miracles.
Yeah,
Elisha
says
eight.
Elisha did two.
Eight.
And that's
eight.
Why. So we read two.
Okay.
We read two.
Okay, that's okay. There are many ideas.
Right.
There are many ideas as to why we have two parts.
Enough.
But one of the ideas of
the
why there are.
Bracha has to be hidden.
One of the ideas to explain the connection between the first part of the Haftarah of the Isha who needed Parnasa and the Isha HaShunamis, which was the word Delis. In both of those instances, it says the door was shut. When the oil was poured, It was done in privacy behind closed doors. When Elisha was Mechaya Mason, he shut the door. No one should see me Mechaya Mason. Okay, that's a connection. But that the word Delisti in that context is a little bit different. But let's go to the ancestor of David. Who's David Zayda? Who is the Zayda? By David's bar mitzvah, I want to give thanks to my parents and to my grandparents and to my elder Zayda. Lot, David, by his bar mitzvah shuttle, who do you think he pulled out with the honor roll? The elder Zayda. Who's the elder Zayda of David? Lot. Lot's elder. And what was Lot's smile? What was the quality of Lot that David attributes here when he reaches the climax of his accomplishments? The prize of David is Mizmar Shir Chanukah Habayis to David. This is his prize. I'm the Melech. What did I do as the Melech? What's my legacy? What do we have from David today? What do we have? The Beis HaMikdash. He built Yerushalayim. Dov was the one who discovered Yerushalayim, who discovered the final resting place of Hashem's presence, and he built Hashem Abayis. This is David's legacy, the Beis HaMikdash. And what does David say? Honor all. Let's give credit to where credit is due to the Babas and the Zaydis. And who is the Elta Zayda? Lot. And what did Lot do? He shut the door. Lot knew how to defend the vulnerable, the weak. The Malachim came and said, "You guys, you better get inside." They came inside, they came together. "I'm going to risk my life, but I'm going to protect you. I'm going to go outside to the danger, and I'm going to shut the door behind me." By Yiskar Hadeles Acharon. That's powerful stuff. That's powerful, powerful stuff. Hashem doesn't forget. And now, generations later, it's payback. What is Hashem doing for David? Hashem is protecting David. Hashem shuts all the doors in the dangerous situations. When they took David, they sent him out to the field to go be a shepherd in the most dangerous territory where there are lions and bears and the wilde chayes. BLM is all over the place. Hashem protected David. He protected him. Aronimcha Hashem ki dilisani. You shut the door behind the door to protect me. Why am I saying this now? Because this is where I come from. It all started with Lot. He's the Zayda. No, Lot's the Zayda. Lot had a daughter, and he lived with the daughter. He had a child called Moav, and Moav came, Rus Moavius, and Lo Yove Amoni Moavi, Moavi Vlo Amoinis, Moya Moavis, and here I am today. Ki dili sani, kineged by Yisker Hadeles Acharav. Okay, that's so. We have really three. We have over here three. We have chidushim over here. We have from Bechol, a bucket, a yerida letzadech aliyah. David had a hard time in life. David didn't have an easy life. A lot of yeridas in life. David Basheva, Amnon, all these stories about all the problems, but yet. Sheva pomim yipol tzaddik v'kom. I came back up. Ayiv zechliya. Rav Mordechai Mintz, who has taught us the word dilisani in Lashon dal. What was the pasuk you quoted? You quoted before. Mikim me ashva. So you quoted the pasuk.
Me offer dal.
Mikim me offer dal. Dilisani. Is mamish in one word, it's saying the whole pasuk. Mikimi, you lifted me up. You've taken the dull. Mikimi may offer dull. I'm the dull. But now we're manipulating that word. We're playing with the word in a poetic fashion. Dili sunny, you lifted me up.
And I think that's why it's called the degree, because style.
Okay, it's similar. It's totally zebazem. And then the third mahalach is Adeles. Okay, in the Minchas Erev, the Mincha Aseret says the drush, you know, the door miraculously opened up, even though there was a construction issue. It miraculously, but deeper, the Lisani Deles Hashem and Del. What is the Deles? Ma'ayin Shmida Eitzel Har Sinai. This is the Yichus of David. Goes back to the Zayd Eloit. Okay, let us read first of the Mitzvah. I want to read the Mitzvah because very. I don't know if we have the Mitzvah. We have to go weiter. The Mitzvah is David. Where did the Mitzvah go over here? The Lisani Rabam Tani B'Masha Shlomo B'ni Chaba B'Basheva. This that Shlomo B'ni who came from Basheva. See, the Mitzvah over here is saying what it says in the Radak at length, and really everyone here says upon is, what in the world is this Mizmar? Why is this Mizmar a Chanukas Habayis L'David when the whole Mizmar talks about the fact that he almost died? I mean, what? What's the connection? My Inyan Shmita Eitzel Har Sinai. So the Mitzvah David really says what basically every Mefarish on the page says in a lot of more words. He says in a few words, and he says, what's the connection? Remam Tani, b'ma she'shloima b'ni ha'bo mi'basheva b'no b'na ha'migdash ki bozeh. I almost died because of Basheva. Because of the mice of Basheva, I had great tzaras. I was deathly ill. My enemies pursued me. And everyone said, good, he's getting what he deserves. He's getting what he deserves. The fact that I survived, and I didn't just survive. I have a son, Shlomo, who succeeded in building the Beis HaMikdash, is the ultimate proof that Hashem forgave me, and I'm legitimate. And the legitimacy of my account of building the Beis HaMikdash is real. Ki bozeh, the fact that Shlomo built the Beis HaMikdash, Yodu Hakol Asher Mochalto Li Al Avoin de Basheva. The fact that my son Shlomo will inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash is a revelation that Hashem has forgiven me and I've survived. You've healed through Shlomo. It's like a vindication that you've healed me from my spiritual illness of what happened with Basheva.
He's a child.
More, because he's a child from Basheva. Oyvai, my enemies, those who say that the sin is still with me, Shivati, I cry to you. Hispalalti, I cry. You've healed me. So the Mitzvah over here is saying is over here that the healing over here is Mechilas Avonis. Pashab Shah, the Pasuk over here is dealing with David's illness. He was a sick person. But the Mitzvah says no, and it says healing over here, referring over here to Mechilas Avonis. David is confessing, I did an Aver with Basheva. I did a terrible Avera. And I had this chait hanging over me. And because of the fact that my son Shlomo from Basheva built the Beis HaMikdash, it's the clearest indication that Hashem has forgiven me. And healing is just a symbolic form of forgiveness. V'chei Nemar, v'shav refaloi, helisani, hitzaltani min amisa, yidei mechilas avon, you have saved me from death via mechilas he'avoin. There's another mitzvah on the other page. Miyardi from descending Meridas alabar kavon v'mila shaynais. Okay, so we did this. We have to still do the Rashi's tomorrow and move ahead. We cannot spend too much time on anyone. This is otherwise we'll never get anywhere. I'll take a very short break, and then we'll talk about...
Rabbi, how could this